I think that one of the most disturbing trends of modern times, in fact, I think the most disturbing trend, next to the abandonment of God and the Christian faith, is the breakdown of marriage and family as the very foundation of society. There's no doubt that we live in an age of division, and it begins by people divorcing themselves from God. We have divorced ourselves from one another, whether it's divorce within marriages or just divorce between families. And divorce means simply that, a separation. God, of course, is unity, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we're made to come together as the body of Christ. It begins with the unity of husband and wife. As we all know, the covenant of marriage, by which a man and woman establishes a lifelong partnership, is directed by its very nature toward the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual good and growth of the spouses, and of course toward the conception, birth, and raising of children. As Catholics, we believe that this covenant made between two baptized persons, male and female, before God, in the presence of the church's minister, that is, a priest or a deacon, has been raised by the Lord Jesus himself to the dignity of a sacrament. As Jesus says, "In the beginning God made them male and female, and the man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Therefore, Jesus says, "What God has joined, no man may separate." And thus we have the sacrament of holy matrimony. And God, of course, was the one who began all this in the very beginning with our first parents, Adam and Eve. And he likes it. After he had created the world and our first parents and established them as one and gave them the commandment to go forth and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, Genesis tells us that God looked at everything it made and said that it was good, and it is. God happens to like this, the unity, the peace, and stability that's established by love, and the beauty of that comes from creation of new life. In our world, sadly, we see far too much discord, chaos, and instability that's been caused by self-love and by hatred, and that's the root of all things. People hating God but loving themselves, and thus it causes them to hate God and one another. Our world is mad with hysteria and anger because of this. It's not what you and I were created for. God, who created us out of love, calls us to love. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love one another. And this is the fundamental and innate vocation of every human being, created in the image and likeness of God, who is love. And since God created man and woman, their mutual love becomes an image of the absolute and unfailing love with which God loves us. The love of husband and wife is good, very good in the Creator's eyes. And this love, which God blesses, is intended to be fruitful. As I said, the Lord's own words, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." That is, care for it, develop it, and make good use of it. The scriptures affirm that man and woman are equal, but they are distinct. God made us differently, not just physically speaking. Yes, males and females have different bodies and look different, but we think differently. We react to things differently. We feel things differently. So inside and out, man and woman are meant to be different and distinct. That's not a bad thing, even though the world thinks that. We're meant to be complementary, that each gender brings a completion to one another. We were created by God for him, but also for one another. As God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. He needs one like himself." Thus he creates woman. "Flesh of man's flesh, bone of his bones, woman is nearest man's heart in all things. She is given to him as a companion, as a helpmate by God." A woman thus represents God for her husband, as the man represents God for his wife, God from whom comes our help. When a man and woman leave their parents and cling to one another, the two become one flesh. In that union, they bring forth children, a great gift. Even though as the kids get older, it may not seem that at times that they are a gift, but they are. Children are the supreme gift of marriage, and they contribute greatly to the good of their parents and the family as a whole. So while husbands and wives come out of themselves for the love and good of the other, so they also come out together out of themselves as husband and wife, as parents, for the love and good of their children. always teaching their children the values of love and self-sacrifice, obedience, respect, and cooperation, as St. Paul taught us in the second reading. And parents have this. It's a natural right given by God, as well as a duty to educate their children in the proper ways and service of life, especially when it comes to morals, through rules and discipline, good manners, and of course, in prayer and mass attendance to develop their spiritual lives as well. I've always said this, and mean this sincerely, that every man who is a father needs to show in his very life, in his ways, in his example, must show his sons what kind of man to be and his daughters what kind of man to look for in a husband. And likewise, every woman should do the very same, to show by her ways, by her example, what kind of woman her daughter needs to be and what kind of woman her son should look for as a wife. Parents and all of us as adults need to remember that our children are listening to us, they're watching us, and they will become what we are. We're shaping the future by our own actions and attitudes. And if we take liberties with faith and morals, I promise you, the next generation will, and they already have, abandon faith and morals, which they desperately need. Anything hot will turn cold, by degrees. In our world, which is often hostile to the Christian faith, we need strong couples with believing families who put holiness and charity above all, above social status, above money, jobs, and activities. Family is of primary importance as centers of living and radiant faith. Every family is called to be a domestic church, a small church of the home, where all members exercise the common priesthood of the baptized by praying together at home, attending Mass together, learning right from wrong, going to confession, receiving the sacraments, and giving a witness of a holy life. It includes self-denial, but it also includes charity and kindness. It's only in a family that a person learns their true humanity, as well as their divinity. They learn endurance and the joy of work. They learn fraternal love for one another, generosity, even repeated forgiveness, and above all, thanksgiving and divine worship and prayer. Ultimately, by their own self-sacrifice, parents teach their kids to give their lives for others, whether it be in a religious life, giving life to God, or to another person in matrimony. Keep in mind, Christ Jesus chose to be born and grew up in the bosom of the Holy Family, the family of Joseph and Mary. And the church, as I mentioned, is nothing less than the family of God. We are here to pray for, to look out for, and to love one another. We've all seen the devastating effects in our own families of casual, premarital, and adulterous sexual activity. We've seen the problems that come about through cohabitation outside of marriage. We see the horrors of faithlessness and neglect of motherhood's and fatherhood's duties and demands, repeated divorce and remarriage, carelessness, a lack of faith in the world. The faith is practically dead in so many places. And finally, a lack of commitment to God or to one another. When we destroy those things of God, the weeds come up. The weeds of drugs and crime, poverty and ignorance, illegitimacy and abuse, and so on. Brothers and sisters, the world may look bleak and seem to be on the brink of collapse, but there is hope. Families are the prevention of that. Strong, faithful families. May we find amongst ourselves families of faith, of courage, who love family, love God, love country, love neighbor, and want to be their best and do their best. May we do that to clean up our lives and help to put this world in order. God has given us a solution. It's in here, with us, in the church and the family. He has shown us in himself and in the Holy Family what to do. May we listen and may we see. Respond with a renewal of commitment. So maybe ask husbands and wives today at some point to hold hands together and renew your marriage vows. If you don't remember them exactly, just be general. It's okay. But just commit yourselves to one another. Renew your devotion to your family. Place Christ as the King in the very center of your marriage and the center of your family. And may we learn to love and encourage one another as brothers and sisters, living as children of God in faith in the family of the church, all submitting ourselves wholly to God our Father. May we, as a church, as families, be a light of revelation to a dark and unbelieving world. And as the psalm says, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways.